and welcome to The Two Tones, Tony DeBolfo.
Greetings, Tony.
Tony Moclair. It is episode 14, so we salute the following. The great Secco, Michael Sexton.
1995 premiership centre-back, Tony. Magnificent
Jeez,
player he was.
Player.
On the 200-game wall here. Rodney Ashman.
Oh.
One of the all-time greats.
Legend.
Member of the team of the century, if memory serves. And the McLeans... Whites are showing Tony. Brock and Ricky, both wore 14 for Carlton.
Relation? Were they related at all?
Yes, Ricky is Brock's uncle, and more intimidating footballer than ever was.
No.
He was frightening.
Hang on, Ricky was more frightening than Brock.
Yes, believe it or not, Ricky was a truly fearsome presence. In the locket category, I'd say Ricky McLean, full forward, hefty fellow, you know, with an edge to him. But might I say, he was the first Carlton footballer I got an autograph from way back in the early 70s, late 60s, I think it was. And he was the perfect gentleman to me. And I bumped into him in a cafe up at, I think it was Riddles Creek, years later, and told him so. I said, "You got a bum deal, Ricky. You weren't an animal. You were a true gentleman." And he was quite chuffed to hear that.
Oh, good, good. His reputation has been restored, courtesy of the Two Tones. Now, before we start, and we keep saying it in the words of Frank Thring, what a weekend. But can I just acknowledge the continued support of the Two Tones, and by that I mean listening support of my mate George, who runs Shoe Image in Fairfield on the left-hand side as you go up north, up near the TAB.
On Station Street.
On Station Street.
Yes.
He's a mad Carlton supporter and has been a long-time listener of the Two Tones. And he's chuffed. George is one over-the-moon man.
Well, he's only human. I'm sure that that's the feeling that's shared by the masses who are following Carlton's fortunes with great relish these days. And isn't it magnificent that the football world is finally sitting up and taking notice and respecting the Carlton brand as it should be respected?
Because it's a case of where have you been? I mean, look, obviously we've been ahead of the curve there, Tone. But I noticed that yesterday, earlier on in the week, that is, the Herald Sun, a huge picture of Jack Silvani, fourth Rising Star nominee in the course of 13 rounds. Have you ever seen the like in all your days?
It's a magnificent thing, isn't it, to think that we for so long were bereft of nominees in that, you know, much respected category. We've never had a winner, you know, in history. I think back to Cambo and more recently Murph. Unfortunately, the damaged shoulder cost Murph the Rising Star Award in his first year. And then more recently, Cripper, you know, lost to Jesse Hogan.
Yeah.
You know, a little bit contentious. So we've never had a winner, but boy, gee, we're giving ourselves half a chance this year, aren't we, with four so far.
Yeah.
All power to Jack and the other three players that have got the gong this year. It's such a great reflection on the journey, you know, the much used term, the journey and where it's heading. And but we look at the team, Tony, and it's not just the youth, is it? You know, you've got the players at the other end in career best form.
Well, and that is truly ominous. Now, we're talking, of course, of the Gold Coast game played Saturday night, where Gold Coast thought that they would probably get over the top of Carlton but didn't figure that they were playing Bryce Gibbs.
Oh, I think that's a fair comment you make, certainly about Gold Coast's preparations for the game, Tony. They didn't look to me that they'd come to play.
No.
And yet you look at the Carlton players, you know, and I remember that image front on as they were walking up the race, and there was, you know, you can, sometimes you can tell, you know, or just that was that look of, you know, that they were in the zone.
Mm.
And it certainly was reflected in the way they approached the game and their opponent from the first bounce. You know, the tone was started with Bryce Gibbs, you know, dropping the shoulder into Gary Ablett's shoulder, and everyone else that was on the ground that was anywhere near the great man was following suit. And it was a pretty clear sign, I guess, that here was a team that meant business and were out to, you know, right the wrongs of a few weeks ago.
Well, it's funny you mention that. You look at Tom Lynch scoring seven against Carlton and
Brandon Matera carved us up. Five.
Yeah, and now Liam Jones, 2 weeks in a row, has imposed himself on the game. He kept Tom Lynch to donuts, no, basically. No majors.
He did.
And I think he had a single behind.
He did indeed. Yeah. I think the conditions certainly helped us. There was a little bit of light drizzle early in the game and the dew hit the deck too. You know, not that that really was the be-all and end-all and what was a great team victory. But I had the great pleasure, Tone, of interviewing the lead-up to the game, Liam Jones. Mm. A different cat. You know, it was great to hear him talk. He was reflecting on being told that he was to play in the back line prior to the opening round VFL game by Josh Fraser early this year. And I think he half thought Josh might have been joking because he walked into the meeting of the backman and was asked by one of the fellows in that meeting, "Oh, I see you're playing the back line," to which Liam replied, "Oh, I wouldn't have thought so." Mm. And it wasn't until he went back into the general meeting that Josh made the call in front of everyone, "You are playing back this year." Obviously, must have changed Liam Jones's mindset and his thinking and his approach in totality, because he did say, which is really interesting, he initially thought that being pushed back would amount to a demotion, that he hadn't succeeded as a forward, whereas au contraire, you know, the opportunity to be pushed back would mean another string being added to Liam Jones's bow, playing back as well as forward, maybe with the occasional pinch hitting in the ruck. Mm. So once he understood that, I think he's played with a certain degree of freedom, and it's really, really shown in the way that, you know, he's gone about his work, you know, this past month of football, particularly at senior level. It's been tremendous to see, and it's just one of many success stories this team so far.
I want to get to examining individual performances because there were so many of note, but before we do that, just prior to the record button being pressed by Grace, you mentioned a coaching move by Brendan Bolton at the very top of the game. This is the thing about Brendan Bolton. He's a really wily competitor.
Well, he is. And I think what I've gleaned from, you know, watching teams under Brendan's watch is that, you know, from the outset he tries to wrong foot or you know, just maybe catch the opposition out, and it's a little difficult to follow it all from afar when you're watching on the box. I wasn't there live, but I'm sure Sam Doherty started in midfield, which was really, really interesting. And I don't know that Rodney Ead would necessarily have planned for that. I think he started with Gibbs, you know, as I said, dropping the arm into Gary Ablett. Ed Curnow picked him up for the duration of the game. Wore him like a cheap suit. So I think that's what I like about Brendan Bolton too. He's you know, he's an innovative coach, and he's prepared to try things. And I just think there are a couple of instances where, you know, Gold Coast may have been caught off guard. And reflecting on that game, you know, an interstate game, it was paramount that the players got away to a good start to kill the crowd. You know, the home crowd. Yeah. Not sure what the numbers were. Maybe the numbers were down. However, it was very important for them to get off to a good start and perhaps wrong foot the Suns. And that was certainly the case.
Can I just say on that, I was listening to it on through 6PR on their app on a phone in North Warrandyte, Tone, when I was with my 10-year-old on a cub camp. As he was watching a movie, I was laying out on a slowly leaking camp mattress.
The air was must have been flying, Tone.
So there was lots of fist pumping going on. What came to mind listening to that was, I mean, this was a victory manufactured not only by the coaching of Brendan Bolton, but by the unbelievable recruiting smarts of Stephen Silvani.
Well, and you saw Stephen Silvani, there were, you know, crosses to the box, and Stephen was there on his own, you know, like, you know, Rommel overseeing the troops. And he likes to sit on by himself. I quizzed him about that earlier today, and he said, "Oh, yeah, he likes to fly solo when the game's on." But you're right. You're absolutely right. You know, some of the recruiting moves early in the year were guffawed by a few you know, so-called experts, you know, but are they coming up trumps for Carlton now, all those players from GWS. I mean, we talked about the Bolton moves. I think another crucial move was Jed Lamb going forward late in the game. You know, that crucial mark that to really ice the game, I think was a great move, you know. And I think what Brendan Bolton has also done, he has at his disposal players now who understand the game plan, they understand what's required, they understand their role within it. So he's got buy-in from the entire group. And strength in numbers means that Carlton are going to be extremely difficult to beat, no matter who they play. And that's just magnificent to see. You know, we're getting 100% input across the board from your playing group, and long may it continue, Tony.
Now, we touched on him before, Bryce Gibbs. A remarkable journey, considering had everything gone to a certain plan, he would not have been at the club this year. However, seems now the speculation is interesting in the papers. Has he suddenly found a resurgence in his form because he has that buy-in, as you said, to the Bolts game plan, or is he just trying to up his value for trade at the end of the year? It's immaterial as far as Carlton supporters go at this juncture, I would say, because he's playing so wonderfully. But when he was interviewed after the game, I thought it was interesting. The lid is firmly shut. The lid is definitely on. And this is a team not getting too intoxicated by its own success.
Very, very true. Very true. Talking about the Gibbs thing for a moment, I was interested to hear Brendan Bolton comment about Bryce Gibbs's game. And, you know, I think the stat is that Gibbs is the first man to post 40 possessions, lay 10 tackles plus and kick multiple goals in a game of footy.
Two goals and gained 810 metres, which I didn't even know was
no,
a stat.
No, that was a great stat by Grace there. Hearing Brendan Bolton comment on Gibbs's game afterwards, he did make the point, he felt that the most important stat there was the tackles. Mm. And, you know, sometimes when you hear a coach speak, it's more what they don't say that you pick up on. And him making a point of that would suggest to me that Bryce Gibbs had to reinvent himself and perhaps bring more of an aggression to his game. And I think he's done that, and what that has done is made Bryce Gibbs the complete player, notwithstanding the way he prepared for this season, you know, and the professional he is to get on with it, despite the fact that there were pressures afoot maybe to return to South Australia. But what a complete pro he's been this year. He's in career best form, no doubt about it. And again, all power to Stephen Silvani and the recruiters for keeping their nerve. You know, when the deal was supposedly going to be struck and Adelaide were prepared to pay unders, that Carlton didn't budge. They said, we're not giving him up cheaply. Mm. You know, he's a contracted player, and you want him, you pay for it. Yeah. Again, so all power. Yeah. It's a win-win-win, I think.
Yeah. Now, I mean, you look at those stats, 43 disposals. That's Greg Williams-esque.
It is.
Coin a term there.
It is. He probably moves a little bit more freely than the Diesel did.
Yeah, true.
But, however, Williams was a genius. Oh. But you're right. They're amazing numbers, aren't they?
Yeah. And you know, that steadying goal at the end, again, that leadership he's showing. He's just been absolutely magnificent.
Magnificent.
Can I urge all listeners, including George, to the Two Tones and all Carlton supporters, Mother's Day, when it rolls around next year, please remember Mrs. Curnow. because she has given us so... That goal was magnificent, wasn't it?
Look, it was a great goal. The brothers combining there, it was like the crackers at North Melbourne, wasn't it? It was lovely. It was magnificent to see. And, you know, is it great to see the two boys enjoying their football as much as that? And, yes, Mrs. and Mr. Curnow must be looking on with great pride.
Yes.
Charlie probably could have iced the guy with that fluffed grubber at the end.
He's not alone there, though.
He wasn't on his own there. But, you know, what we can see in Charlie is the emergence of an exciting footballer, you know, an athletic player that's capable of doing a lot of amazing things on a football field. So, yes, we watch on with interest, and all power to Ed too for the job, you know, the unenviable task he was given on Ablett.
Yeah.
An unsung hero, I think, in this team, not only through the course of this year, but for many years. Gets the big jobs and 9 times out of 10 delivers, doesn't he?
Now, any honourable mentions, Tone, before you give us your 3 votes? It is a... it's a task I would not want to be given.
No, it's not. It's tough. Again, Tony, a great problem to have. Look, someone's got to miss out, you know, so I think I want to extend an apology to Matty Cruiser, the big bloke. Again, there's another player. We talk of Gibbs in career best form. Well, Matt Cruiser's never played better footy for Carlton.
Yeah.
And, you know, the nickname Tractor, we were saying off air to someone before, is such an apt nickname to give a fellow that just seems to keep willing himself to the next contest and the next and the next. And an honourable mention to him. He doesn't make my 3-2-1 this week, but...
He does make a mention in dispatches.
He does. Yep. He does. So, Tony, I went with two of our backmen. How to go past the evergreen Cade Simpson.
Unbelievable.
Him and Doherty must have thought it was Christmas. Yeah. you know, no accountability there. They were just poncing around and picking up, you know, touches at will and setting Carlton up from the half-back line. They were aided and abetted, I might add, by Marchbank, Wiedering, Liam Jones, as you said earlier. I think Marchbank actually stood Brandon Matera. And as I said earlier, Matera, I think, put 5 on the board when we played them last time. So he kept 1 for the game. So, look, the core, that defensive core is, you know, tight as a drum and magnificent to see. So I gave 1 to Simo. I gave 2 to Sam Doherty, our award winner last year, inaugural winner. And 3 votes to B. Gibbs. How could you go past him? You know, Matthew Lloyd gave him 10 votes, possible 10 on the Sunday footy show last week. And, you know, that's probably a fair call because it was a supreme performance by Bryce Gibbs and all power to him. A little sidelight to the result, Tony, too. I think there were 2 nice things that happened on the broadcast. One was when immediately following at the siren, the camera panned to Brendan Bolton on the interchange bench. He was down on the deck for that last minute, I think. And first thing he did at siren time was to turn around to his support staff and shake hands with every one of them. That's the team within the team, and that's what's happening here. It was just a great thing to see. And the follow-up to that was immediately after Jack Silvani gave an on-ground interview, the camera followed him as he turned his back and headed back to the goal square to the Carlton faithful that had gathered behind the goals. It was just magnificent to see number one returning to the faithful. They were in raptures. And it's just magnificent for the supporters and for people, you know, long-suffering people. We've often revisited this, Tony, how, you know, you and I have seen some great moments in Carlton history, but there's a generation that just hasn't been privy to any success. And I think it's to them that I'm happiest for.
Yeah.
Those people that just don't know what it is like to experience a successful Carlton team. And there is a long way to go. You know, Brendan Bolton always says this is a journey. But what a journey it's proving to be. And, strap yourselves in, Carlton people, because it's going to be a great ride.
Indeed. Well, according to Damien Tardio, whose dad filled in for me a couple of weeks ago, Carlton was 6-6 at the same point last year. Yes. We're 5-7 now.
Well, that's incredible, because I don't think there were too many pundits that expected them that win-loss ratio at this stage of the season, let alone season's end. So I think the team's tracking along nicely. The big test will, of course, come this week back in Melbourne.
Yep.
But you know, if you look at the opposition that Carlton met in the past fortnight, the two teams have had the pick of the crop in terms of the best football talent in Australia. It just goes to show that sometimes, what's the old expression, Tony? A champion team?
Team of champions.
That's it.
Thank you. Now, we'll just quickly preview next round's games. Round 14, Tigers versus Carlton. So it's a Richmond home game. Sunday, 25th of June, the MCG, 3:20 p.m. It is a bona fide blockbuster. There is no other word for it. Should be getting 80,000 at the G, you would hope. It is one of the oldest and one of the greatest rivalries in the AFL, VFL. You don't need me to tell you that. Rewald, Rance and Dusty. How do we shut them down?
Well, it's interesting, Tony, that if I recall the opening round of the season, Jack Rewald didn't trouble the scorer.
I'm
pretty sure Sam Rowe did a great negating job that night. So in Sam's absence, you would expect that the Jones boy might again get the nod.
Yeah.
And confidence has got to be pretty high at the moment. So, I'd back him in for sure to do the job on Jack. Dustin Martin, you know, had a great year throughout and has troubled Carlton, you know, particularly when he's gone forward in recent years. I can remember him proving a handful for Zach Tuohy, instances we've met Richmond where he's gone forward. So Obviously, I'm sure Brendan Bolton will have something in mind there to counter Dustin Martin's influence, whether at midfield or forward. And Rance, well, you know, it's going to take a good game from whichever Carlton player's designated the role. I'm trying to think now who stood him last time, and if memory serves, he played pretty well. And I can't remember whether it was Levi or who it was now. My memory just fails me at the moment. But I think it might have been Jakob Vietering. I think Vietering may have gone forward last time and played particularly well on Rance. So in light of the fact that that Jakob had the job on Peter Wright last week in defence, it'll be very interesting to see which way Brendan Bolton and the Brains Trust goes with the matchups. But what we do know is that Jakob did a reasonable job in that one-on-one with Rance last time the two teams met.
And which player do you think we should taunt on Instagram before the game? Seems an obvious question, Tone.
It's hard enough, isn't it? Trying to win without giving opposition a free kick.
Well, and let's not get Josh Bootsman back for that.
No. We move forward. There is, Tony, I understand, there will be at least one change. Tom Williamson apparently is gone for a fortnight with a back ailment. So it'll be interesting to see who gets the nod there. And Alex Silvani, of course, is still recovering from the knee. So he's still a little while away. But someone will get their chance. I know the Northern Blues lost to Werribee. They broke the run of five or six wins at the weekend. But they're in reasonable form. So whoever gets a call up will be cherry ripe and ready to go. And you would expect that player will slot in seamlessly to the Carlton back line. It's going to be a great game.
Yeah.
A traditional rival, as you said, a much hated and despised opponent in the good old days of the 60s and 70s when both Carlton and Richmond were up and flying. But magnificent to see Carlton back in Melbourne on the MCG where it belongs, taking on an old foe.
In the game of the round, you'd have to say.
You'd have to say that.
And that is a great thing for Carlton supporters to ponder. That really says a lot. Bums on seats, the club is up and firing. These are great days to be a Carlton supporter.
Great days to be a Carlton supporter, Tone. And you'll be there Sunday?
Oh, yes.
You'll be
your bottom dollar.
Lurking in the shadows there?
I will not be freezing my bunions off in North Warrantyte, 3 degrees, sleeping on the cold, hard ground. I can tell you that for a dollar, Tone. Tony DeBolfo and Tony Moclair saying goodbye. Thank you and go Blues.
Go Blues.
And we will catch you next week on the Two Times.